And a good Tuesday morning to you. Welcome into In Focus on News Radio KMAN. I'm Brandon Peoples, and Dave Lewis producing things for us on the other side today. We are pleased to be joined for the next hour by Marvin Rodriguez, Riley County Commission Chair. And we always look forward to getting an update from our Riley County officials. Marvin, good morning.
Good morning to you.
Marvin, it's been kind of an interesting time here for you personally. I know you've missed some meetings here lately, and I wanted to have you just kind of address kind of what's been going on in your life here lately. I know the election result wasn't kind of what you wanted, perhaps. But if you wanted to start off that route, let's talk about that first.
Okay. Well, somewhere around June, my wife had discovered that she needs to have an operation, and it was a heart operation. The heart valves were not working right, so I had to kind of cancel a few things and get there and start taking her to consultation meetings and different places, Topeka and here and things. And so I wasn't really available to go out and campaign like I would have liked to. So that kind of threw it off balance a little bit, but I had to get her help and make sure she was okay, because that's my priority. And so I missed about 40 days of campaigning towards the end, and so I finally got it all taken care of, and she's now been released from the doctor to drive after an open heart surgery and a replacement of two valves in her heart. So everything is coming out okay, and that's the most important thing to me on that.
All right. Well, we're glad to hear that she's doing all right, and boy, our prayers to your wife and you and your family. Obviously, a lot more important things going on in the world right now, and that's definitely a big one here for you. And boy, it's been a tough year here for anyone in leadership positions this year. You guys have had, I know, your fair share of tough work with this coronavirus pandemic. And another update yesterday with the local health order coming out. It removes some requirements here on bars and restaurants. And I'm curious as to what the decision was here for leadership.
Well, part of it is you can't... Just close down everything and say, okay, we're going to progress and be fine. Operations of hospitals and emergencies, RCPD, and whatever else, all those continue to operate. City functions, county functions. And if you just shut everything down, essentially what you would do is shut down the entire government. But roads still need to be maintained. Emergency vehicles still need to be maintained. Emergency, the ambulance still got to go out. The police still have to go out for problems and et cetera. And so all those things that we recognize that still have to be continued. Hospitals still have to operate. But you just can't shut down everything and in my estimate, and this is my opinion, which is the opinion of many people, you can't make the cure worse than the disease. And because sooner or later, you're not going to be in that situation, and you're going to be so far behind on operations and et cetera and all of the different things that go with how the country operates, you may never recover from it. But you still got to move on. There's still schools still open. There's still... K-State's trying to get open. All the other functions that are there, and still maintain people's rights and still try to make this thing work and find a way to not spread the disease, and it makes it very difficult.
I know there's been a lot of pressure on the county from Kansas State University in particular to have mask mandates here, and I know that's been a point of contention. The county commission's not interested in having a county mask mandate, but instead of the recommendation. The city has an order in place, and it's up until, I think, September 7th or somewhere around there. Knowing that, you know, we do have a bunch of students coming back and already back in town, is there any worry in your mind that we could see another spike in cases because of that?
It's very possible. I don't doubt that it might not take place because you're bringing in people from all over. Rural areas don't generally bring them in, but if you get other people from high dense places or other states, there could be a problem. But you have to address it in how we were looking at it. All the counties around us opted out of the governor's mask edict. And if you have all the other counties around us not requiring masks, how are you going to make this thing work? And if you're going to have people come here, and a lot of people come here to shop from other counties, especially the surrounding counties, and it does put a real stigma on people that have to come in, and all of a sudden they appear and they will say you have to wear a mask, and they don't have a mask, and some of them get kind of irate over that because they're not sick. And in my estimation, all the time, it's why should you punish the people that aren't sick because other people are sick? And I know the mask, and I know the spread of the disease, and I understand all that. there are some people who can't wear masks, and I know it's hidden somewhere in some of the governor's edicts. People don't read all of the order, people with asthma or CPD or CPOD and other people. There's people that get claustrophobia when they wear the mask, and it makes a problem. And so, out in the county, they don't need to wear a mask. I mean, the farmers are out there working. They're a business also, and if you say all businesses must do this or that, well, they're out feeding their cows, and they're mostly by themselves, and they do go in and have coffee with different people, and they try to do what's best. I still feel that the American people are not that ignorant about it. They have been doing things for years to make things work, and they are not, they have an attitude that they'll do what has to be done when they go into crowds, but out in the open, they want to be able to work their land and work the things they need to do and get their crops in and do the things they need to do without being restricted to how they do it.
Sure. Again, we're speaking with Marvin Rodriguez, Riley County Commission Chair here on In Focus. You know, I did some traveling here this past weekend. I was actually in Colorado for a few days and saw, it was actually a good time for me to kind of get away from things, but then also do some observing of kind of how things are being operating here and everywhere else that I visited along the way. And it's interesting because it's different and counties have options here. They can opt out or they can choose to do whatever they want, but there's no uniformity here. Where you travel to Colorado seemed to have the mask mandate thing pretty well kind of in hand. It's uniform just about everywhere you travel there. It felt like that to me. Do you think that's kind of why maybe we're struggling here in the state of Kansas because we don't have that kind of uniformity or what's your opinion, I guess?
Well, the places like North Dakota, South Dakota don't have a mask mandate, and they're doing good. They're doing fine. And again, when the governor put her order out for masks in every county, the attorney general came back and said that the people don't have to do that. It's their right not to wear a mask if they wanted to. So he made it so that the counties could opt out. And about 90 of the counties of Kansas have opted out of the governor's mask mandate because they feel that it's not good for their constituents and it's not good for operation of their county.
All right. Well, fair enough. I'll tell you what, let's take a break. We'll come back and I'll talk a little bit more about local health order number 17 here in the next segment. We're listening to In Focus here on News Radio KMAN. We're back on In Focus, News Radio KMAN. I'm Brandon Peoples, talking here today with Riley County Commission Chair Marvin Rodriguez. Just update, we won't have the phone lines available here today, but we do encourage, if you have a question, go ahead and give us an email here, studio@1350kman.com, if you've got any questions. And local health order number 17 went into effect here at midnight, I guess 12:01 technically, this morning, and it's kind of a Not a lot has really changed. Just the big change was the screening requirements for bar and restaurant employees, and that went from a requirement to a strong recommendation, as I understand it. What was the commission's thinking here on this particular item?
Well, it was given to the commission from the health operations emergency services there that they were looking at, that the owners of the establishment should require their people and left it up to the owners, so that it wouldn't be such a hard deal on it, that if they didn't follow that and the health officer came in to look for records, that they could be shut down if they didn't keep track of their employees whenever they come to work, that they didn't have temperatures and they weren't coughing and they were okay to be there, because they don't want to have the employees come in and pass on the COVID to any of the visitors coming in, the patrons coming in. So that was the reason, and they've got a little more detailed protocols to follow now.
All right. We've seen a few small outbreaks there in the Aggieville area, nothing recently, but how would you say that they are handling businesses, at least from your perspective?
Well, with the information we received, they're cooperating. They're trying to get, they want to keep their businesses open, so they're doing their very best to make sure that the patrons of when they come in, and also the workers that they have comply with all the edicts that have been passed.
All right. Well, and of course, Aggieville is about to probably get really popular here in the next few weeks with all the students coming back. I don't know. I haven't actually been down there in a couple weeks to see kind of what the return's looking like right now. If there have been more people in bars and restaurants, but you know, obviously limiting crowds sizes down there is going to be a real challenge, I would think, for a lot of those establishments.
Yes, it is, especially the bars, because they make their money off of a congregation of a lot of people at one time in there. They're just going to have to slow down on that, but at least perhaps maybe we'll keep them open. We won't lose them. But the big thing, obviously, is that the taxes that come off of all those places has to go to the city, and some to the county, to keep city and county operations moving along. Because if you cut everything off, then it shuts down the city also.
Well, there's a really delicate balance here, because I know a lot of those bars and restaurants in Aggieville have been struggling since the pandemic began, because they were shut down for about 2 months. Go ahead.
And they do operate on a very shoestring budget, and their profit is on a very narrow budget. And so this means that they have to do something to stay in business so that they don't go bankrupt or close down. And it's not good if we have businesses that have to close down and not open ever again, because we were so harsh with them. But we have to have some sort of middle line taken on that.
Yeah, no doubt about it.
They don't there's no way that they can receive any other kind of income, and they got people that work there that they're barely holding on, and so we got a lot of people's lives and hopes and dreams here that could be crushed if they don't have a way to continue it on.
Yeah, we're speaking with Marvin Rodriguez. He's a Riley County Commission Chair and joins us here on In Focus as we talk to different commissioners each month. You know, we talked a lot about the COVID-19 impacts, and of course, that's really front and center for everybody right now. And
I'm getting a call from either some other place, but it's restricted, so it must be the RCCD calling me, and I can't take it.
I apologize. I didn't catch all that. What'd you say, Marvin?
Oh, no, I'm talking. I've got somebody's trying to call me.
Oh, okay. I understand.
But that's all right. I'm not going to answer.
Well, you know, we talked a lot about COVID-19. Of course, that's impacting a lot of things, not just public health and crowd control, stuff like that. But we do have to take into account the financial side of it as well. The budget, I know, has been talked about. And forgive me if I don't recall. You guys did approve it for publication recently, right?
Yes, the budget for 2000. Actually, you have to say it's 2020 because we did it this year, but it's 421.
Okay, and remind me, and for those that maybe might have missed some of the news on that, what's different about the next fiscal year budget and the changes, mill levy?
Well, it's gone down a little bit. We're trying to make sure that whatever happens this year, and we go into next year, we know will be slow response on the economy, and so we're trying not to increase things on it. I know that we flatlined a lot of the employees, and they understand because we don't want to lose any, just to make sure that we can get the sales tax money and other things so that we can make it through on 21.
And I know that's something you specifically wanted to have continue is the sales tax issue, and I think the commissioners outvoted you on that, isn't that right?
Well, we made a consensus to try to get it on there. The half-cent sales tax goes over to the it's been in operation now. Let me go back a little bit. It's been in operation since 2002, and it goes for 10 years, and we successfully have done it for 20 years now. So what the county uses it for is bridges and roads, and we have been able to meet all of the challenges on business and roads by having that half-cent sales tax, and it's about $3 million average that we get for that, and we use it only for that purpose, and we have good roads. We have been, I've got many comments and kudos for the sake of that our roads are better than the adjoining counties, because we only dedicate that half-cent to the roads and bridges, and in the last few years here, when I was looking at what the county has done, that we have repaired 7 bridges, 6 more are in the design phase, and roads, we're redoing now the southern part of McDowell Creek Road, and we have the dollars and cents to do that because we only use that for road bridges. Nothing else comes out of that fund.
Okay, I see. That McDowell Creek Road, sorry, go ahead.
Go ahead. You go ahead.
I was just going to say that McDowell Creek Road project. What's the status of that right now? Is it going well?
It is going well. We have found some concerns, but we've addressed them, and it's moving right along, and that should be ready here in a few weeks to get done. When I say a few weeks, it could be about 4 weeks, but it'll be done, and it'll be a much better road.
Oh, yeah, that's a nice little shortcut. I like to take that road sometimes when I come back from Junction City. Mm-hmm. You know.
Yeah, it is a good road to go on.
Mm-hmm. All right. Again, speaking with Marvin Rodriguez here, Riley County Commission Chair. We reached time to take another break here. We'll come back. We'll continue our conversation in a moment here on News Radio KMAN.
Okay.